Brother Jerry, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad the doctors were wrong about how long you'd live. Jerry and I talk at least once a week, if Jan lets us. And we tend to have so much fun when we talk that she knows that there's probably trouble getting ready to come, I guess. But Jerry, thank you so much for what you sang today. Tailors into our message for today about walking with the Lord. You see, we learn early in life that people say things, and unfortunately we learn that when they say things, they don't really mean it sometimes. I had to watch what I used to say when our kids were especially young. You come home from work and you're tired after working all day, maybe a 10 or a 12-hour shift, and the very first thing is, "Dad, can you read me this story?" And the true answer is no. But the answer sometimes I would give is, "Tomorrow when I come home from work, we'll do that." Guess who's waiting at the door tomorrow as I pull up the driveway? They're ready because I made a promise to them. I didn't use the word promise, but I told them we'll do that tomorrow. One of the things that I learned to do is I wouldn't tell my kids what we're doing tomorrow. We'd get up on Saturday morning, I'd say, "Get in the car, we're going somewhere." "Where are we going?" "Can't tell you till we get there." You see, we talk to folks and folks tell us, "Well, I'll call you tomorrow." And we wait and we wait. And sometimes it doesn't happen. "Yes, I'll come visit you." And sometimes that doesn't happen either. It is wonderful that we have a God who promises and follows through. But here's what I want you to know. Some of those promises are if-then promises. Not promises that God's going to keep no matter what. They're if-then promises. And here, as Moses preaches his last sermon before his death, he's telling the people about some of these if-then promises. One of the things I've noticed in my 58 years is that there's no doubt that the people of today have failed by not fully living the ways of God. They have failed. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about the passage right before this, the paragraph right before this, where Moses is telling them it's not too hard to follow God's ways because they're in your mouth and in your heart. You see, the people lived in such a way that they talked about God's ways every day. And I want you to know this, they didn't have them written down. We have them written down that we can access them, that we can look at them, that we can study them, that we can go through them, that we can see the interconnectedness of all Scripture. The people that Moses was speaking to probably were not literate, and they had none of these words written down. Yet Moses told them, these words are very near your heart and they're in your mouth. It's because they spoke about them all the time. And people in our world don't do that anymore. If they speak about it, they might speak about how bad Christians are. Or they might speak about how intolerant Christians are. Or they might speak about, well, they think they're right and they know we're not. I don't want to interact with them. I don't want to be part of them. You see, the people in this world for the most part, are not following God's ways. They failed that. And we need to be very careful if we're accusing others. I don't know, did your grandma tell you the same thing? There's three fingers pointing back at me if I'm pointing at you. Maybe I need to take some time to look at my life. Am I living it the way God wants? So here's what happens. So some search to find the promises of God in hope that a new day of fullness is coming. And they search throughout the scripture looking for these promises. And God says, I will do this. And they find that one phrase, they find that one verse, they find that one sentence. It says that God said that God will do this. And oftentimes they don't look any further than that. And they're expecting God to be the one that does it all. You see, there are many people in this world, especially in the United States. Well, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this? I very rarely ever hear anybody say, what do I got to put into it? It's all about, I found the promise of God, and God says, this is in it for me. God, here I stand right now, answer your promises and hold true to your promises. That's what most people are looking for. They're looking for the blessings. They're looking for God's prosperity. But I want you to be able to read these promises very discerningly. Because many of these promises are in the form of, if you, my people, do, then I, your God, will. If you, my people, do, then I, your God, will. They're not unconditional promises. They are very conditional. In this case, Moses is speaking to the people right before they cross over the Jordan River and go into the promised land. They've been walking around in the desert for 40 years. Sometimes as a pastor, I think about and I really hurt for Moses. He's been leading these people for 40 years. And at the very beginning of that, they didn't want to do what God asked them to do. And God very clearly said, then you won't get what I promised to give you. And each and every one of you will die before this nation moves into the promised land. Was that not conditional? God says, I'm going to give you the promised land. All the way back to Abraham, God said, I'm going to give you the promised land. Here it is over 400 years later, and it still hasn't happened. Moses is talking to the people that weren't there at the beginning, and he's telling them it's still an if-then situation. If you, my people, do this, then I, your God, will do this. People in our society are not looking for those kind of promises. Do you know if you work a job, you have an if-then promise? Did you know that? If you do your job, then you get a paycheck. A lot of people in our world don't look at it that way. I was here 40 hours this week. I'm due a paycheck. Well, did you do your job? It's an if-then promise with an employer. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, if you will do these things, then this might heal up. Okay? I'm going to leave a little wiggle room there for the doctor. Because doctors aren't always right. I'm sorry, Doc. Doctors, I'm just going to pick on Mike for a minute. Doctors don't have a business, they have a practice, because they're still practicing. They're still trying to get it right. But I know Mike did the absolute best that he could while he was doctoring, and I appreciate what you did, because I know you helped a lot of people. Thank you. But you see, we forget that some of these promises that God has are these if-then promises. We just want God to bless us. We want God, and you can go on and turn the TV on this evening, this afternoon, if you want to. And they will talk to you, some TV preachers will talk to you about, oh, God just wants to bless you. Do you ever notice their promises often are if-then? God will bless you if you send my ministry some money. Be careful when you watch them. If you do this for my ministry, oh, God will bless you beyond belief. Their promises are often if-then also. I can't say that they're following God in a proper way when they do that. You see, most want what God promises, yet they're not fully committed to live what God wants. Most want what God promises, but they're not fully committed to live what God wants. You see, God wants us to live the Scriptures every day. God wants us to tell other people about Jesus Christ so that other people can get saved also and come to Christ. God wants us to help the poor and the widows and the children. God wants us to live the commandments of God. Now, I know some of you might say, and some people do say, they're too hard to live. They're too difficult. Nobody can live them all. Nobody can do that. That's where I appreciate the song that Jerry sang today. If you don't walk hand in hand with God, you're not going to live God's commandments. And that's an everyday thing. Not a come once a week and get your battery charged. It's an everyday thing. You've got to think about holding on to the Master's hand and walking with the Master in order to be able to live the commandments, because God says, one, I give you the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, to teach you, to instruct you, to encourage you, to lift you up. And so many people don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. Even though that Spirit lives within every believer who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Some people get up in the morning and say, God, I got this one. Don't need your help today. Because what I'm doing today, I done before. I got it. You see, if we're going to live the if part of the promises, we've got to walk with God. And I wouldn't even know how to walk in the Christian way if I didn't walk with God and hold God's hand. I wouldn't even know. Some people say, I can't pray. Pastor, I just don't know how to pray, and I don't know how to do it right, and don't ask me to pray out loud. You know how to pray? I'm going to make it really simple. Just sit down and do it. There's a part in the book of Romans that says, sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. Romans chapter 8. Sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, yet the Holy Spirit takes our groans and interprets them to God. How do I pray? Just sit down and do it. It's the groans of your heart talking to God. Hold the hand of the Holy Spirit while you do that, and you can pray. People get caught up and there's a formula for doing prayer. Guess what? There's not. There is no formula. We can dig through the scriptures and we can find out that every prayer is different. They're organized and structured different. They say different things. They do different things. Prayer is just sitting down and talking with God, as I might sit down and talk with you. That's all prayer is. I have people come to me all the time, "Pastor, would you pray for this? Because I know your connection's better than mine." Does that mean you don't know how to reach out and grab God's hand? My connection is no better than your connection to God. I can have every theological degree there is and read every book there is about prayer. And it's only when I sit down and do it, holding Jesus' hand, that I can pray. You see, people want the promises, but they're not willing to fully commit. It overwhelms me that people in Moses' day would overwhelmingly know the scriptures. Overwhelmingly. Now somebody's going to come to me and say, "Pastor, they only had about four or five books of scripture then." If that's all I had, then yeah, I could do it too. My question would be, how come you don't know four or five then? You've got it written down. You can read it every day. Moses' people didn't even have it written down. And if it was, they couldn't read it. But yet they knew it inside and out, because they talked about it and they shared with one another about what the words of God meant to them. They knew God's promises, and they knew that they were if then. Because God says, if you will live in obedience to me, then I promise you will be blessed and you will take the land and you will increase. But verse 17 starts with a word that a lot of people don't pay attention to. A word that changes everything before it. But. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. Why is America being destroyed now? Because they're not willing to follow God's commands. Why are churches falling apart? Because they're not willing to follow God's commands. It's that simple. It's not a difficult thing. We make it hard in that maybe we don't have the right structure, maybe we don't have the right leaders, maybe we don't. But what would happen if everybody followed God's commands? To see the promises of God kept, we must be obedient and fully committed to live God's commands. We must be obedient and be fully committed to live God's commands. If you were to ask me to grade my spiritual life and how I am in my spiritual life and how I am as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I would tell you the weakest part of my life is sharing the story of Jesus Christ with other people who need to know about Christ so they can have salvation. That's the weakest part of my spiritual life. I can teach church people inside out, upside down, right side. I can every day, all day. Sharing with someone who needs to know Jesus Christ is one of the hardest things for me. Does God release me from doing that? No. As I'm teaching discipleship, God's really convicting me on this and really working on me on this. Am I out there trying to find the people that need to know about Jesus Christ? Now, I want you to understand this. It doesn't matter that I'm a pastor. Even if I was a lay person, the commandment of God is no different. Get out there and share is what Jesus Christ says. Get out there and teach. Get out there and help. Get out there and lift folks up. Instead, churches have become Motel 8s. You know what I mean? Anybody get that yet? We'll leave the light on for you. The light's on and we're here today. You're welcome to join us. Are we out there trying to help them in the doors? Are we out there trying to help them understand? Are we out there trying to help them understand why we accepted Jesus? Just in case you want to come to me later and say, I don't know enough to talk about Jesus Christ, I'll give you a short little assignment that will only take you about 15 minutes. Read John chapter 4. Read John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is about a woman that meets Jesus and 15 minutes later brings a whole town to Jesus. She only knew Jesus for 15 minutes, most likely. How long have some of us known Jesus? And we've got a whole town here that needs to know Jesus. So I'll leave you with this question. Are we as a church living the if so we can experience the then? Are we as a church living the if so we can experience the then? Because for many of God's promises, it says that's the only way they're going to happen. If we live the if. But don't feel lost. God says, I'll hold your hand and I will walk with you so you can live the if. You don't have to do it by yourself. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The God who created 150, 60 billion universes says, I will hold your hand so you can live the if, and I'll walk with you so that then you can experience the then. Are we doing that? Let's pray. Lord, how difficult we make this. You require a lot of us. But you give us the energy. You give us a helper to walk the way. You give us a son who has already prepared that way for us. You've entrusted to us what we might consider incredibly hard things to do. But yet you continue to say, if you, my people, will obey my commands, then I will bless you overwhelmingly. Lord, please help us to stop looking for the shortcuts and just live the life that you're asking us to live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.